With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hunting is a sport many people enjoy, and no matter what your opinions are on this controversial topic, it's safe to say that some creepy things happen out in the woods while hunting. Whether you're hunting alone or in a group, I'm sure you've had a few odd experiences. These people sent in what they claim to be true stories while hunting. As always, it's up to you to decide whether you believe them or not. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a hunting story or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Now, without any more hesitation, let's dive right into these creepy, allegedly true hunting stories that'll keep you up tonight. I'm from somewhere in the southeastern United States. This story isn't like most you've read or heard. This wasn't a sighting, it was a sound. A horrific sound. So, I was in my deer stand waiting. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. I've never gotten a deer out of that stand or seen one, but it was getting dark, so I got my rifle ready, because that's around the time the deer come out. So I'm sitting there, and I hear what sounds like a train horn blaring in the woods, but it was deeper in pitch. This sound shook the stand and me to the core, but the worst part was what came after the sound of sticks breaking. I've heard every noise in the woods from squirrels to hogs, but that sound was like a herd of buffalo stampeding through the woods. The strangest part was, I asked my uncle and my grandfather if they've ever heard the noise, or if they even heard the noise that day since they were out there with me. They had heard nothing that day and said they have never heard anything like it. So, then we headed out, and I haven't heard that noise ever since, but I will report back if I ever have another experience. I know my story was short, but thank you for sharing it anyway. This story takes place around 2 or 3 years ago near the border of Louisiana and Texas. My uncle owns property around that area and uses it as a hunting ground. I've been there multiple times in the past because he needed help clearing out trees. I have even hunted there once and was able to nab a nice doe. On the morning of the encounter, we arrived at the place at around 4 a.m. This campsite had an opening that went to a small little trail. This is where my uncle and I set up our tent. The opening leads to 3 main clearings, all leading to feeders. As you may be well aware of, hunting asks for a lot of patience and avid listening, and we did just that. Nothing out of the ordinary happens until around 3 hours after we had arrived. The 20-degree weather was beginning to warm up, but not enough to keep my hands and feet from shivering, The woods are a beautiful sight to behold. Nature is the main reason why I loved going hunting in the first place, after all. I stared down the scope of my rifle and scanned the area, searching for any woodland creatures and examining the beauty around me. As I look around, something catches the eye. Mind you, if I hadn't been looking around so much to the scope, I wouldn't have seen this thing. It is hard to explain, but it looked like a piece of wood with the proportions of the upper part of a torso and a head. At the time, it didn't strike me as something out of the ordinary. It simply looked like a part of the wood's foliage, yet I was for some reason drawn to it. I even had a funny thought that if I looked away and looked back, it would have changed positions. Due to this random thought, I checked up on the thing every 10 to 15 minutes. Every time I would move my crosshair over it, the scenery seemingly remained the same. Around an hour later, I continued my newfound routine. Once I looked over to where the thing was supposed to be at, I noticed it was gone. After looking over to the same spot of the woods for around an hour, I knew that particular spot very well, and knew for sure that that thing had just disappeared. I'm sure some listeners will wonder why this is a worthy story to even tell. What I would like you all to take note of is that that thing did not move an inch. It remained completely still for over an hour, and I hadn't seen the slightest bit of change. If it were alive, why would it have just stayed like that? The appearance was very off-putting as well, now that I think about it. The more I try to picture it, the less it makes sense. It was sort of out of focus. Maybe this is why I was drawn to it, the slight difference between the rest of the scenery. Again, I would like to preface how hard it is to even see this thing. I was really looking around the place and just so happened to look directly at this thing. If anybody has any idea what the thing could be, let me know in the comments down below. I am a child of the mountains, and my hometown was completely mountainous, so I spent most of my childhood running through the forest and stuff. And one event that happened when I was 10 kinda remained unexplained. I was on top of the ridge several feet above my house when I started hearing my biological father yelling. I'm adopted but was allowed to see him frequently. In our very redneck area, he had a very distinctive voice with no accent, so it's really not possible to confuse him for anybody else. His voice was coming from the other side of the ridge, which is a bit weird in retrospect because nobody lived over that way and everybody avoided that area. Even when hunting, we'd go around. The terrain was just too bad to deal with. Lots of thick brush and sudden drops. I started hearing him calling my name, so I started going down anyway. It's not a good area, but I've been through it a time or two during the winter when less vegetation means easier navigation. The voice wasn't really getting closer, but it was getting louder, and then this feeling of dread washed over me as I suddenly remembered my father was on a business trip to Germany. I've never run so fast. I didn't realize it until I got to the other side of the ridge, but the forest had been completely silent on the other side of the ridge, which never happens unless there are predators around or the wind picks up. Normally, I think I was just getting too close to a black bear or something, but the voice obviously makes it confusing. Unlike a number of stories like this I've heard over the years, the experience didn't really stop me from going into the woods and made me more curious about the other side of the ridge, resulting in the occasional expeditions into it. Though, I never heard or saw anything else, and eventually the mountains itself were destroyed for a new highway, probably around 2008, 8-ish years later, going right through the center of the place where the voice was coming from. So, I'm about 13 to 14 years old, and the one thing I and my father enjoy doing is fishing and coon hunting. He coon hunted as a kid and sold the pelts for cash. It was kind of something I did just to spend time with my old man. We hunt a handful of spots every fall and winter, so we're pretty accustomed to all the areas and the trails and roads we take. My dad's a bit of a storyteller. One of those that tell the same stories every time we go to a place or remind him of an event. So, he has told me 100 times or so about losing his best coon dog, Hank, in the area he claims the locals call the Devil's Backbone. Let's call it TDB for short. TDB is a weird place, out on a never-ending gravel road. You pass an abandoned schoolhouse there and there's a god-awful grinding of an old oil pump from about a mile away. At the end of the dirt road, there is a T-intersection with a field in front of you that's maybe 5 or so football fields wide. To the right and to the left of us, there are woods and brush. It's a little before midnight when we park the truck about 200 yards away and let the dog out the back. Hutch, our dog, has always been a good hunter, so we cheat a bit and let him run. When we hear him bay, we drive up to the tee and turn right or left to base where he's at. Hutch plops down the tailgate, shoots into the wood, and me and my dad hop into the truck waiting for the call. We crack open the mason jars of chili we brought every trip and have nothing but the parking lights on. It's very enjoyable, it's very peaceful. But after about 10 minutes, I hear Hutch howling and going crazy. I open the door and stand out the truck trying to hear where he is. My dad fires up the truck and plops the lights on. Now, not a minute later, I hear my dog growling and the sound of what I know are him fighting and something right after that. I'm not sure how to explain this. It's an upright, let's say a man-like figure, about 6 feet tall. It walks across the headlights in front of us about 50 yards up. His eyes were glowing yellow from what I assume is the tapetum lucidium in his eye. Then, silence. No dog, no woods moving, no woods. Just the sound of the old, solid oil pump grinding away. I hop back in the truck and look at my dad. Did you see that? He shakes his head. Looked like a man with fur, but I couldn't tell as I only saw him for a second. We discussed it for a little longer and decided it was probably best that we just ignore it, because it was probably just another hunter out there that didn't have permission or something. We were a little freaked out and decided to get Hutch and call it a night. I hop back out the truck and yell for the dog, and Dad turns off the lights on the truck. Now, I'm not sure if the lights we saw were always there, or we just didn't notice them till the truck lights flipped off. Above the tree line, on the field in front of us, were glowing orbs of lights of different colors. Orange, light blue, green, light red, about 25 in total. I sit back down, and we just sit there and stare at the lights for what seems like an eternity. We drove closer up to the tee before a single word is said. The sky glows like you would see a city or large business in the distance. The orbs are just so perplexing looking. They don't move or change color. It reminds me of stadium lights in the middle of a forest. So we sit there and watch, asking ourselves the usual question. What's back there? Nothing, it's all woods. Combines, maybe, doing a night harvest? Nope, woods in the river. You sure there are no farms over there? I'm sure. We finally get Hutch back to the truck and get him squared away. We watch the lights for another 15 or so minutes and head home, watching them in our rearview mirrors as we turn around and drive out. We went back to the spot the next day without the dog and there were no lights. I hunted that spot 20 times before and many times since, and have never seen them lights before or after. To this day, I have no real explanation for the lights. Some quick background before I get into what everyone is looking for. This story takes place in the Deep South. I actually work for a woman that buys plantations and holds quail, deer, and various hunts so rich people can show off their dogs and horses and get slammed at the same time. I'm a 21-year-old female that is not very tall or threatening. This happened Tuesday night around dusk. Earlier in the day, my coworker and I had been assigned 3 people to take deer hunting later that day. One of the men in the party insisted on hunting at dusk instead of the beginning of the day like we usually do. Let me briefly describe the lay of the land to avoid any confusion. The plantation sits on thousands of acres and actually straddles land in between two states. We are miles in the woods, only accessible by horseback and rugged trucks. Every person in the group will be in their own tree stands, which we have to hike into after parking the truck. The tree stands are spaced about a minute walk in between each other in the sort of L shape, with only rough paths to go on. I will actually put myself in a ground blind, the very last person in the L. Around 2 PM, my coworker and I get the three people settled in the tree stands. My coworker settles into a tree stand in between two of the main group members, and I walk with the last man, Alan, to his tree before heading to my blind with the hunting dog that I always keep with me, aptly named Cujo. I recall the afternoon being very tranquil and relaxing. I grew up with a dad who was an avid hunter, so I've always been comfortable with the woods. I do remember the woods being stiller and quieter than usual, but it wasn't creepy or anything. After sighting nothing except for a few turkeys, I sling my gun on my back, gather Cujo, and start back to the woods. Since it's illegal to hunt after dark, not to mention people get hurt easier, we all pull out at dark. So I waited until 6 PM. Darkness gathers quickly in the woods, and start to walk to the tree stand of the man closest to me. The idea is to work our way back to the truck and gather the group on the way. As I walk to Alan in the lengthening shadows, I noticed something was out of the ordinary. He was pointing his gun at me. I instantly grow pissed. We tell the members roughly what time and direction we'll approach them, so this doesn't happen. And he should have also known it was me. As Alan scrambled out of the tree, I impatiently wait on him, ready to tell him off. Did you hear them? What? I now notice that Alan is covered in sweat. His shirt has large sweat rings under the armpits and his face is red. Unusual in the cooler weather. His eyes are darting frantically around as if he expects something to jump out at us. He nervously licks his lips and looks at me. I heard whispers. Now, I don't know anything about anyone listening to this, but one of the things that you don't want to hear deep in the woods is the phrase, I heard whispers. I won't go through the entire conversation, but I slowly coaxed everything out of him. Alan was fine until around 5 PM when he started hearing voices. He had initially thought it was me, perhaps talking to my coworker or Cujo, and had begun to exit his stand when he realized that it was the voices of two men. For whatever reason, he realized that something was off and stood at the top of the ladder. He said he could never make out the words, but he could clearly hear two distinct voices whispering in what sounded like a conversation. Sometimes a high-pitched laugh would go on for a few seconds. Since he was concentrating so much on the voices, he did not immediately realize that the undergrowth was moving around. He could clearly hear branches and sticks snapping. Then he realized something else. They were making circles around him, like they were messing with him. The voices, laughing and walking around him, continued for an hour, then abruptly stopped roughly 10 minutes before I walked up. The entire time, the poor guy was practically having a heart attack. As soon as I got the whole story, I quickly began to rush us out of there while hooking Cujo up to his leash. I won't go through the whole montage of us walking back, but I was highly unnerved the entire time. After getting back to the truck safely, my coworker began to question the other members of the party. No one else had seemingly seen or heard anything. No whispers of things creeping by them in their stands. However, at that point, everyone was thoroughly freaked out and we got the heck out of there. I have no idea what Alan might have seen or heard. The woods can be strange places sometimes. I've heard noises before that I can't quite explain, but nothing like this. Alan has been hunting numerous times, so I can't explain it all on city folk getting uneasy in the darkening woods. This happened back in November 2017. I was deer hunting on some public land on a lake that is in Oklahoma. The spot that I hunt at is an old railroad track from the late 1800s to early 1900s before the lake was built. Along the track, you can find remnants of old houses, buildings, wells, things like that. There is a small creek that runs along the edge of the railroad track. Across the creek is an old town where everything was demolished in the process of creating the lake. There is even an old abandoned cemetery in the woods near the town. There are not many houses anywhere near where I hunt. Just woods for miles and a few houses on the border of the public land. So, now that you know the lay of the land, I will get on to the story. I am a 16-year-old male and have been hunting basically my entire life, and I've had many strange occurrences happen when hunting, so I don't really scare easily. I hunted this particular spot for over 4 years at this point, so I know the area well and can quietly get to my stand without being noticed by the game. This particular morning, I wanted to be in my spot extra early. I got up about 2 hours before legal shooting time, got my gun and gear, and started walking to my stand. I had an uneventful walk to the railroad track, but when I got there, I started hearing it. When I got to the track, I had about a 400-yard walk to get to my stand. When I first heard the noise, I immediately got chills. The noise was a very loud whistle-type noise that lasted for about 1.5 seconds and occurred in about 5-second intervals. And guess where the noise was coming from? You guessed it. Straight towards my stand. I stayed where I was for about 5 minutes listening for the sound. At this point, I found that the noise was coming from past my stand. So me, being the avid hunter I am, decided to risk it and go to my stand anyway. I slowly worked my way to the stand, stopping every few steps and listening, then continuing on. Finally, an hour before light, I make it to my stand and climb into it. The noise still going, even louder. I sat there for a few minutes, taking recordings of the noise on my phone and researching what it could be. Now it's about 10 minutes before light. I hear the noise once in the distance where it had previously come from. Then I immediately hear the noise on the hilltop less than 100 yards from me, and then complete silence. That was the first time hearing any noise like that before when hunting. And before you go and saying it was somebody blowing in the wind or something like that, there was no wind that morning. None at all. There are no oil rigs in the area either that could have ever even made that noise. Does anyone know what this could have possibly have been? I have a Native American friend that I showed the recording to, and he said it sounded like a Native American flute. But I'm not sure. I will be sharing this with other people as well, and thank you for sharing this on the show. This started in April of this year and is somewhat still going on. My husband and I bought a cabin on 7 acres of land. It's part woods, but the majority is open fields that partially are fenced. There is a tree line that separates one side of my land from a neighboring farm. That tree line is a nice view out my kitchen window and is quite pretty, but it now terrifies me. Around the end of April, I am walking my land, just exploring as we had just moved in. I happen to glance up and I see an unoccupied tree stand. I didn't think much of it since we live in the country, and the land is full of deer and turkey. It was not hunting season, but people still like to watch the wildlife. The only thing off about it is that it was facing my house. I went on with my day, not thinking about it. About 2 days later, I'm pulling in my driveway and happen to look across my field, and I see the same tree stand in a freaking different tree still facing my house. It creeped me out, but I didn't feel threatened because there's 1.5 acres between my house and the tree stand. I had never seen a person in the tree stand, and my husband told me it's probably someone deer or bird watching or something like that, which for a time made me feel better. The tree stand ended up moving from tree to tree so much that it became a game between my daughter and I to play Find the Tree Stand, until sometime in late June. It was almost dark outside when I took our puppy out to go to the bathroom. As he was doing his business, I mosey on over toward the tree line, not even thinking about the tree stand. I tend to wander around our property just enjoying the peacefulness and animal noises. I am not good with determining distance, but I guess I was about 25 feet from the tree line when I see him. A man with what looked like an either a camera or binoculars around his neck. I couldn't make out any details because it was almost dark. I truly don't believe he knew that I saw him because I didn't react to him. I was walking diagonally toward the tree line and could see him out of my right peripheral. I pretend like I don't see him and mosey my way back toward my house when I hear a creak of the tree stand and I see him scurrying down the damn tree. He had to make it down the stand, which gave me a head start, but he was frantically making his way out of the tree. I looked back one time and saw him at the edge of the cattle fence looking at me. My husband searched the property line for him but didn't find him. My daughter no longer stays at home alone, and I carry my pistol every time I go outside. I hate having to carry a weapon on my own property. I feel as though I'm being watched, and it's not a good feeling. We still see the tree stand, and it has moved from tree to tree. Sometimes we can't spot it at all, which creeps me out even more. I grew up in a rural community in southern Ontario. It was one of those places where everyone wears camo, and when deer hunting opens, everything becomes deserted. As a kid, I spent the majority of my time in the forest playing alone, as my sisters weren't too fond of leaving the house and my closest friend lived a few kilometers away. My favorite pastime was finding anything I could hit things with, a stick, an axe, a hockey stick, and just run around the woods for hours practicing my combat skills against defenseless trees. Every day my bus would drop me off at around 2:55 p.m., giving me lots of time to defeat my wooden enemies before my parents returned at around 5:30 p.m. And once it was summer, I was out there from the moment I woke up. But I was always sure to be back and in the house before my parents got back, so they couldn't catch me messing about with a splitting axe. This was my nightly routine from about the age of 9 to 13. By around the age 13, the axe started to get boring. I knew my forest like the back of my hand, and finally had worked hard enough to buy an Xbox. One summer day, the internet went out, ruining my game of Medal of Honor. So I decided to do the one thing I had done a million times before, and go get lost in my forest. It was probably around 10 or 10:30 a.m., so I knew I had plenty of time before my dad came home. This being southern Ontario, the only thing I was remotely scared of were fishers. Combined with the fact that I was no longer interested in fighting the trees, I only brought with me my fancy pocket knife I had kidnapped from my father's police cruiser. I ran into my forest, up the main path and over a ridge I had scaled many times before. I was gone probably 20 minutes when things started to feel strange. For some odd reason, I felt as though I was being watched. I had never seen anyone but my neighbor in my forest before, so I immediately tossed the idea aside, thinking that I was just being overreactive. I kept running and walking for about another 10 minutes when the feeling started to get much stronger. I suddenly felt as though I was somewhere I shouldn't be. As though the branches overhead started to get thicker and everything got much darker and much quieter. Occasionally, I would hear this strange sound. It wasn't like any animal I had heard before, but more like the bell on a bike with an odd echo to it, almost like a metallic cricket. I decided that I should probably head home and check the time on my phone. It was 11 a.m. It was then I realized I had no idea where I was. Keep in mind that I knew every inch of this forest, from the roads that border three sides of the lake that borders the other. I had hiked every inch of it numerous times before, yet, somehow, I had no idea where I was. And then things started to get stranger. I looked down around my feet and saw a bunch of metal buckets and various metal tools. This is when I heard a voice. It seemed like a child calling for me by name. The voice was light and seemed to flow effortlessly in the wind. In my panic, I assumed it was one of my sisters calling for me to come home. So naturally, I called my sister's name back. When I got no response, I took my phone out and tried calling. But this being the middle of nowhere on the Canadian Shield, I had no service. I looked around, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something dark behind a tree. I looked around, and I saw laying in the ground among the buckets, a rusted red bicycle, like one from the 50s you see in anti-nuke posters. The bike seemed to be in the one part of the forest that light was shining through, kind of staging it. I quickly opened my camera and took a photo, thinking my eyes were playing tricks on me. And then I heard it again. But this time the child sounded like they were almost singing my name, breaking it up in syllables. I started to quickly walk away, hoping that I would end up anywhere but this area. But the voice seemed to follow me, and I kept seeing glimpses of something running behind the trees, keeping pace with me. So naturally, I started running as fast as I could. I ran as quickly as my leg could manage, not caring for the branches that would whip me in the face and eyes. After about 15 minutes of running, things started to look familiar. I ran down a massive hill, and the trees started to become more open and bright. I slowed down and started to walk, too terrified to check behind me. Once the feeling of impending doom settled, I finally mustered the strength to turn around. The moment I turned around is a moment I will never forget. I turned behind me, and through the trees I saw my house, as if I had been running away from it the entire time. Thinking that I must have gotten turned around, and absolutely hating the idea of running back into the forest, I walked towards the house. As I probably was 100 meters from my house, I heard a spine-chilling shriek come from the forest behind me, similar to the sound of a mountain lion screaming or raccoons fighting, but it was far louder and seemed to be coming from not just one place, but almost many places at once. I sprinted the final steps to my house and did not turn back. As soon as I encountered the house, I came face to face with my father. He was pretty mad that I was gone, and somehow I had lost 5 hours of time. It was 4:45 p.m. I have no idea how that happened or what I experienced that day. But if anybody has any idea, please comment down below letting me know. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true hunting stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. If you're new to the swamp, why not hit subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a hunting story or something completely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going, and I would love to share it with everyone here in the swamp. If you're not aware, if you check the side or under this video, you can see that we are running a fundraiser for the Amazon Rainforest Forest Fires and Preservation of the Amazon Rainforest. If you would like to donate, you can do so by clicking that link right next to the video. Thank you guys for supporting, and I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Oh, and by the way, comment down below, Invasion of the Turtles, if you made it all the way to the end, just to confuse anybody who didn't. I'll see you soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.